Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. When the children sing and the snow starts falling, when the sleigh bells ring saying Santa's calling, there's an open fire and a tree that's glistening. It's the middle of the night as we all lay listening.
Hey guys, welcome to the holiday edition of Talking Metal. What's up?
Well, you know, we caught up with Rob Halford actually about a month ago in the Talking Metal live studios. And Rob was in town talking about his new t-shirt line that he has going on and his new holiday record, which is Halford 3. It's the third album by Rob Halford. You guys should all pick it up. Rob's going to tell us all about it. All sorts of great winter time and Christmas songs and holiday songs on this record. Of course, he worked on the album with Metal Mike, who is also on today's show. So we're going to check out this interview with Rob Halford and Metal Mike, and we're going to talk about the Christmas record, the t-shirt line, what Metal Mike's up to. We're going to talk about Priest, you name it. And you're going to be able to catch some of this footage on MTV2's Headbangers Ball shortly, probably in a month or two.
Definitely. It was amazing to have the Metal God come to Talking Metal Live, where we originally recorded the interview. And the funniest thing is he just walked right in the building. No security guards.
No security, no nothing. And we're also going to hear from the metal nurse today, a.k.a. Nurse Angel. She was in the studio the same day that Halford was there with Metal Mike, and she was looking good, as always, and talking some metal with us. So stay tuned for all that. I just quickly wanted to mention that I wrote an article. It's in the news section on the all-new TalkingMetal.com. John did a great job at redesigning the site. It's called the article in the news, in the wire section, we now call it, is Brand Name Bands. And I just wanted to mention that I personally am still not happy that Tommy Thayer wears Ace's makeup. But what I was referring to in that article is more of what the general public want to see. So go check that article out and send me an email, as a lot of you guys already have, and let me know what you think of it. Talking Metal is now available through Stitcher on your iPhone, your Droid phone, your BlackBerry. You don't even have to download the podcast. You can listen to it through Stitcher without downloading it on your smartphone. What you need to do is go to the culture and lifestyle section and then into the music and talk section, and we're right there.
And Mark, in relation to Stitcher, I put a link on the top of TalkingMetal.com that should take you directly to the Talking Metal page on Stitcher as well. So, guys, I also wanted to explain why we updated our website. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to drive all of you guys to central, easier location to see anything that's new happening on our site. And we combined a few of the pages. So right now, go to the Wire section every day if you have a chance, because as you know, we put up a new podcast usually about once every week, once every week and a half, sometimes twice a week. But instead of posting photos on the photo page, which we will still do, and posting new stuff where you've got to hunt around, anything that happens new, you're going to find out about it on the Talking Metal Wire. So go for that, check it out, and we hope you like the new look of the website. Anyway, guys, I wanted to tell you also about something really, really cool coming up on March 6th at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey. Once again, Screaming Metal will take the stage. That is Dan Lorenzo, Alan Tecchio, Mark and myself, and a brand new drummer. Mark, why don't you tell us about the new drummer?
T. Coombs, a.k.a. Tom, is going to be playing drums for Screaming Metal this time around, and I've never played with him. I'm looking forward to jamming with him. A lot of great songs are going to be added to the set list. It won't be the same set you heard last year. Book your plane tickets now, guys. Screaming Metal in the beautiful area of Clifton, actually in Clifton, New Jersey, which is just a tourist hotspot. Yeah.
And guys, I want to mention that Ron Lipnicki of Overkill is still part of the Screaming Metal family. We're not like individual members. We're one big family. And the reason he's not playing drums is that he's on tour with Overkill at that time. So we had to do the gig. So we brought in T. Coombs, who also played with Hades.
Definitely. Being that we have the Metal God on today's show, I did want to mention our good friend Militia from the band Swear on Your Life has a new cover band, which I think sounds pretty cool myself. Judas Priestess. And you can check them out at myspace.com/Judas Priestess Band. And of course, all females playing all priest. Doesn't get any better than that, guys.
Definitely. And if you remember the very first episode of Talking Metal, the TV show, not the pilot, we had Grace, and she is also the guitar player in Judas Priestess.
Wow, learn something new every day. I did not know that. Very cool. Blackout is a Scorpion song. We're about to hear the version with Rudolph from the Scorpions, along with Metal Mike and Rob Halford and the rest of the Halford band. This is a live track, and Metal Mike's going to tell the story, which I think he already told once on the podcast, but he tells it along with Rob this time. So you'll hear that story later on in the interview with these guys. You're going to hear Blackout by Halford, a.k.a. the Scorpions, followed by our Metal Mike Rob Halford interview. Then you're going to hear a new holiday song by Halford off of the Winter Songs Halford 3 CD. Then we're going to hear from Nurse Angel, a.k.a. the Metal Nurse. You guys know her from the TV show Talking Metal on Fuse. She was a part of that, the Zach Wilde episode. And we'll end today's show with a great band called White Wizard. So let's get into it. This is Blackout by Halford.
Blackout! Blackout! I really listening to Talking Metal Live. And now, back to Mark and John.
Hey, guys. We are very, very honored because sitting in the studio with us is the metal god himself, Rob Helford, and Metal Mike from Helford.
Hello, metalheads. It is the metal god with
the Metal Mike. Hello.
I haven't seen Metal Mike for ages. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, thanks.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, welcome to my town.
You're looking good, yes. Yeah. I'm in your neck of the woods now. It's cool. a bit different to Arizona.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. The last time you guys hung out probably was when you recorded the most recent Christmas record, right?
Helford, I saw Mike at PNC.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And Mike and the rest of the guys have been putting all this stuff together while I was with Priest, you know. We'll talk about that later. They did an absolutely I was blown away when I heard the almost completed arrangements. I thought, this is just, I mean, I had a feeling what was coming, but I didn't realize it was going to be so spectacular. So I never really saw a lot of Mike through the recording process. I saw you on video the other day.
Yeah, thanks.
where did you do your video bits in LA?
What was that, Sound City?
Yeah, so Sound City. You did yours in Sound City.
When Bobby was trucking drums, yeah, we recorded the bits while. Yeah.
So that's when I saw Mike.
Yeah,
it's PNC on video and now here.
Well, that's amazing thing with the technology. You could do stuff and not even see each other. Works great for bands.
You know what's amazing about that? Guys, we're talking about the Get Into the Spirit video, and what's great is I had no idea that you guys weren't there at the same time recording that, because when you watch the video, it looks like you're all in the studio together.
Some people might have a problem with trying to understand that that's sometimes the only way you can make it work, you know.
Right.
Some bands like to all be in the same room at the same time. I mean, for the most part, with a lot of the stuff that we do, Bobby does it all by himself in his studio in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Bobby reads the manuscript, you know. He actually reads the sheet music, and he's the anchor, you know.
He tells us to stop playing because we just mess him up. So he says, let me do my thing, and you guys
screw me
up,
quiet. And we do, and it's remarkable. I think he's the only drummer I know that can be playing and reading at the same time. I mean, he never drops a stick or anything. He's an absolute genius.
Cool. Unbelievable drummer.
Now, Rob, I know back in the day with Fight, you had done a Christmas song.
I did just, but mostly just for, it was a radio promo to thank everybody in radio for looking after me. Yeah.
Cool.
What year was that?
93 sounds about right. Yeah. Is Christmas music, metal Christmas music album, something you had on your mind for a while, something you wanted to do for a while?
I think that this was just like the residual idea that was left over, you know. And I suppose in our world it might seem a little bit strange that we've done something like this, but the fact of the matter is we all celebrate the holidays, you know.
Right.
We all go out and eat too much and get smashed and, you know, party and stuff. And we always play music. We've always got some music going down. So that to me was the perfect equation. Why don't we try and do something ourselves in that style? And it works really well.
And you have a few of the traditional Christmas songs on the record, but a lot of this stuff is original new music that was written by you guys. And how did that come about, the idea to actually write new Christmas songs?
I think it was just inspirational, wasn't it, Metal Mike? You're playing this other music and it just gives you ideas more than anything.
Well, I think you wanted to give the listeners something unexpected and new, mm-hmm. instead of saying, you know, another track that's been redone by the band in our style. So here's a new song. So fans really always get excited about, you know, new music from us, which, you know, makes us lucky, you know. But so it was something new, you know.
And I think really the incredible arrangements that the guys did on We Three Kings, for example, I think that's a whole new song to me. I mean, the vocal melody is obviously from the roots of that song, but it's like a fresh, brand new experience, and that just shows you how well these guys did. But yeah, you know, you just get motivated and you find an opportunity to throw some brand new material from the band, especially the opening cut, Get Into the Spirit. I think
Definitely.
That's a really cool moment.
Rob, speaking of We Three Kings, I have been trying to track down the photo of you from your childhood dressed up as one of the Three Kings. Tell us about that.
quickly. I'm drinking water. I spoke to my sister about making this record, and she said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Blah blah blah blah." Me Three Kings. She goes, "Oh, so 50 years later, you're doing that for good, for real?" I said, "What the hell are you talking about?" You know how sisters have this horrible memory recall. You want to forget stuff, but your sister always remembers. So she goes, "You don't remember when you were a kid? You were in a school Christmas nativity play, and you were in the you played one of the kings, and you sang. You actually sang that song when you were like 7 or 8 years of age."
Wow.
So then the memories just flood back. Oh my God. It never even registered while I was laying vocal tracks down in San Diego. But so it was. And there is a picture of me somewhere. My sister told me. And I did see it. It might even be on the Halford site where the fans send in pictures. I Googled it the other day, Google Images, Rob Halford, Nativity Play, 1950-something, and nothing came up. Yeah. You know? But there is a picture, it's like a full, like a long shot, and he got these angels, his kids dressed up as angels and a big star hanging down, and then the nativity scene, and it's so surreal because I can see myself, but it's like, that isn't me, you know, I mean, where's the connection?
Wow.
It's just a photograph, but it is me in the picture. So that was pretty cool.
Amazing.
Cool. And one thing you did with this record is you've provided a free download, which you've done in the past. And I think Christmas for Everyone, I believe, is the free download. How do you feel about bands doing the free download stuff? Like outside of the metal world, bands like Radiohead and Coldplay have given away, even Nine Inch Nails, full albums to the fans.
I remember in like in 1994,
right.
I read in a paper saying you're going to be able to buy a CD and print the artwork. And that was just like, I'm like, yeah, right. You know, like CDs just were kind of like hot and cassettes were just kind of getting phased out. I couldn't believe it. So here we are, you know, you could download it to your iPod. The iPod wasn't even around. And then, you know, you get the free download. And a few years ago, I said, you know, bands will give away records for free in order so fans could expose themselves to the band and come out to see the show. And I don't know how I feel about it. I'm just kind of sitting around and watching it happen.
Yeah, I mean, because it seems like there was a time when people would actually pay money for a single song, you know, and I believe a lot of people still do, but a lot of people don't. They want it for free, and if they don't get it for free, they might actually go steal it, you know?
Yeah, and I could be calling myself a hypocrite here because, I'm a big believer that you don't steal music because you just don't steal it. It's as simple as that. When you want to listen to music, you should do it legitimately. I'm not going to get into that Napster thing with Lars, who's a good friend of mine, and bring all that back to the surface. But the fact of the matter is, you know, no matter who you are, that's how you make your living, you know.
Right.
This was more in the, I guess, in the Christmas spirit of things from our point of view, and I freely admit it was a way of getting people to go to the website, go to iTunes, and just check out the other tracks, the 30-second intro bits. But in all honesty, it was just a part of, hey, it's the holidays, everybody swaps presents, swaps gifts, mm-hmm. So have a free one.
Rob, I wanted to ask you, how did you pick the songs that you covered on the record? Some of my favorites, What Child Is This, O Come All Ye Faithful, just some great stuff. Did those songs mean something to you?
To me personally, yeah. A lot of the listing and the ideas were generated, I guess, from the band's discussions and management, and mostly we felt we had to work with material that could be represented by us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to wimp out, you know. We wanted to make sure we got some really strong moments. And even in the tracks that are pulled back a little bit, you know, a little bit more in the world of the ballad, the mm-hmm. metal ballad, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, they're still pretty, pretty epic moments. But it was difficult. I mean, you know, we ain't going to do a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, yeah, Frosty the Snowman. I think that was the initial reaction when we said we were going to do a metal record, the Christmas record. people, what the
everybody
hell?
Everybody thought the what most they, obvious.
What, what have they been smoking over there? You know, it's just, this is a crazy idea. But it's not so crazy. Our friend Dee from Twisted Sister, they mm-hmm. put one out. Mm-hmm. You know, Dylan's put one out. I mean, I know that's left field. Before that, there was a compilation mm-hmm. of like Christmassy kind of tunes by different metal bands and rock bands. So, you know, we're in familiar territory.
It's kind of like, isn't it being about metalhead doing what you want kind of thing? And if we want to do a record like that, then we're following our hearts. And so we're doing the, you know, we're doing the true thing, you know.
Some of the vocals on some of the tracks, like specifically Come All You Faithful, I mean, I think that the traditional people who listen to holiday music are going to be blown away just by the musicianship on these songs. And I personally was blown away when I listened to it.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, what else could you say? I mean, it's, I think probably in everybody's mind, it was just, you know, we've got to take this, the extra yard or whatever, just to make it happen. And that's a particularly passionate track. I did all the vocals on the way to the San Diego show with Priest on the British Steel tour. We needed the music, the vocals for that, so I just ran in and we did it in about 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and then I went over and did the gig.
Wow.
Cool. Now, we also wanted to talk about, we're all four of us actually are wearing our t-shirts here, which are looking good. And we have our friend Nurse Angel, who is wearing one of the female t-shirts outside.
Where's mine?
Yeah, Bud yeah. Friendly is now.
Apparently they didn't have one in my size. I'm wearing the Metal God socks.
Don't complain. I'll have a word with Santa and we'll get one in your leather stocking.
Please.
I mean, over the mantelpiece.
So, Rob, the one thing that I think that I notice about these t-shirts is I feel that they could appeal to people outside of the metal world. I could almost see some of these being sold in like department stores alongside of like the Affliction and the Ed Hardy and stuff like that. Is this something you're striving for, to get them out there into department stores?
Yeah, or? I mean, I'll freely admit that on the business level, I'm interested in all the opportunities. I don't think I'm selling out or anything. I think it's just another extension of my
sure.
metal world. You know, this is as cool to me as the music that we make.
Right.
So by association, I think we're trying to make some strong visuals. And Mark Sasso is the guy that puts all of that together. I don't claim any part of it other than in the final process of thumbs up, thumbs down type of thing.
I was going to ask, now, did Mark travel with you for a while to get a gist of kind of the vibe that you were looking for? How did your relationship develop with him?
Well, he's seen the Halford shows. He's been to the pre-shows. He's got all of our music. He looks at the lyrics, you know, looks at the videos, and he's got this very fertile imagination. He was more famous originally, and still is, for being a really sought-after illustrator and graphic comic artist, like the Sin City type of mm-hmm. vibe. So we were just looking for somebody to have an association with, to work with us in the Metal God Entertainment part of what we do. And he's just the best. He's just really, really full of ideas. And what we're all wearing tonight came out of his head, you know. You take a statement like Pray for Rock and Roll. I've written a song for that.
I know, I heard
have
it.
You heard it?
Yeah.
And that was inspired by the shirt.
Oh, wow.
I saw cool. the shirt, and we had the title Pray for Rock and Roll. Then I saw the shirt, and then I was going to the studio one day. You know what it's like, Metal Mike? You'll be driving or you'll be walking, and then these things creep in your head, these notes, and you start writing metal in your head.
Yeah.
And you think you're going insane.
And
you're not,
because
that's just what happens to us. So that the idea for that song came to me while I was driving from the apartment in San Diego to the studio, and I ran in and said, Z, yeah. quick, give me a mic. And I sang the melody. And
That's been happening with you a lot.
Pardon?
Roy's been telling me that's been happening with you a lot. You're coming in, you're like, I got an idea, let's do it right now. Because you get tormented.
They come about once every 10 years.
Because you kind of get tormented if you don't get it out there, because, like, you know, if you don't demo it or record it, it'll just like haunt you and come back in 3 months.
It's like that thing, you wake up at 2 a.m. or if I don't go to bed till 5 or 6, but anyway, you know, you'll wake up and you'll have a song in your head and you think, oh, I'll remember that for when I wake up later. And you don't. It's gone.
No, I know. It happens to me all
you
the time.
You have to cut it, put it down right away.
But check it out. You know what we've noticed about the shirt since I wore it a few times? Talking about Rob's shirt, I'm going to be like spokesperson for Metal God Apparel. but I've started studying this shirt, like with most things I do. I just study things way too close. And I've noticed Eternal, and I've noticed Pain, and I've seen Power. And I've noticed those are actually like the tattoos that you have.
Yeah.
Eternal, and Pain, and Power.
That one redone, look.
Mike. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I just had that redone.
That's cool, the dragon.
My guy in San Diego, Keith, from J Tattoo. Yeah. You put a couple of dragons biting into the word.
The eternal word was there from the beginning.
That was there from the beginning. And then I got Pain and Power tattooed on my body. So that was where the idea is to throw that in some of the
It's merges. Connected.
It's like, connected.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah.
Only Metal Mike would have discovered that.
Yeah. It's a real shirt studier, that Metal Mike.
A new college course.
What are you doing tonight, Mike? Tonight I will study Rob Halford's metal shirt.
Mike, well, besides studying the shirts here, what are you currently up to? You have I heard some rumblings about a possible school happening.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I even told you. I started a Metal Mike's Metal Heroes Academy.
Excellent.
And sort of when I have some time, I grab 25 people in the class and I teach them metal.
Excellent.
What age kids do you teach?
It's not really kids. It's mostly anybody? Like 16, you know.
Like young guitar players?
Young guitar players.
See, that's what I love about Mike. I mean, he's the real deal, you know. Are they paying you?
Well, the students are.
No. God, what's the money, Matt Halford? Are they paying you? No, but I think, you know, fair's fair, you know. I think if I go vocal coaching lessons,
I think you'd get a few students probably. A
couple of dollars. What?
Probably get a few students.
Yeah. But well, anyway, I think that's really cool. How many people have you taught so far?
I do sessions, so I'll sign up like between 7 and 15
that's great.
People, and I'll do like a Saturday, and we'll do like 3 hours, and it will be anywhere
cool.
from
that's great.
Getting your guitar tone in the studio to how to set up your axe and keep it in tune when you play shows. And it's all very heavy metal based. It's
right.
You know, that, and people love it, and it's no strings attached. Boom, boom.
How do people contact you if they want to do that?
Through the website.
Through your website.
Yeah, it's metalmusicacademy.com.
Excellent. Cool. We're going to have all the websites linked through the show notes.
Right. Speaking of the websites, I know that all of our listeners are completely aware of all your sites, Rob, but just in case we have any new listeners, can you talk a little bit about metalgodrecords.com, metalgodshop.com, and halfordmusic.com?
They're all pretty much independent of each other. The metalgodshop.com just seems to be the easiest place to go to if you want to get anything that the Halford band's done musically. And it's also linked to the merch that we're doing as well, the T-shirts. The Rob Halford one is just like the big metal anvil with all of these little subdivisions like the choir room, and people can have live chats, place where you can hook up and find other musicians to play, make a band with. It's a really comprehensive type of deal, you know. And Metal God Records is still pretty new, but the doors are open now. What we wanted to do was really get the thing running, and I think we've shown that we can make great product.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the DVDs out, we've got the Crucible one that we did in Anaheim that's coming out
next
year.
Can't wait to get that.
And but the doors are open. Now we know what we can do, and we've got distribution worldwide. Now we're opening the doors, and anybody can send us some stuff and we'll check it out.
You've always been ahead of the game when it comes to the internet and online music, and it's just a great feeling to know now that Metal God Records is completely set up with worldwide distribution, and you can get records anywhere now.
Yes. We work with the affiliates. We've got Fontana in the USA, Universal in Canada, Warner ADA in all over Europe and the UK, and Sony Japan right now. So they're all good people, and they're all supportive, and you know, I don't know where it's going to go. We know there's other great talent out there in terms of metal record companies. I think we'll probably be a little bit more selective, so we can nurture the bands and help them grow.
Well, that's
rather than just take everybody on, you know. Like when I started with Priest and with what was Columbia, CBS Columbia, and now is Sony, the belief was when a band came along, it might take two or three full releases before you can get everything to kick in and, you know, work on a worldwide level. So that's the principle in the label that we want to do. We don't want to bring you in. Oh, guys, sorry, didn't sell 20,000 records. Boom, next. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to really be careful and help people grow and develop and become a big act.
It's really refreshing to hear that, because I sometimes think that we'll never have bands like we had in the 70s and in the 80s, because record companies now want a quick sell. You come in, and if your record doesn't sell a million copies, you're dropped. And I just think that maybe you'll be the one person that brings back long-lasting bands that have a diverse, you know, repertoire. And, you know, it's nice to hear that a label would want to spend some time with the group.
Definitely.
So thank you.
Now, Rob, we are shooting this stuff tonight, and we hope to put some of these clips up on MTV2's Headbangers Ball.
Right.
When you look back on all the music videos you've done through the years, from Judas Priest to Fight to Halford, what are some of the ones that stick out as your favorite? And are there any little stories, behind-the-scenes moments you could share with us?
Well, there's a ton of those. How much time have we got? You know, the first memory is that with Priest, we were entering the MTV age of video from here in America, and I believe that we were, Priest was one of the first acts that were on the MTV network in the first week of it, you know, starting up here in New York City. The irony was, you couldn't get MTV in New York. It was in Brooklyn or in Jersey or somewhere, but they couldn't get the licensing to go through New York. But anyway, I suppose Breaking the Law was a fun one. I mean, you look at the visuals. When you go on location, I think you're just given more of an opportunity to build a bit of a story rather than just everybody being in one room and making a noise, which is great. I think it's really cool to watch how musicians work. But when you get into an open top Cadillac and you're chasing the sun, it's the last shoot of the day. You know, you're on the West Way in London past the famous Hammersmith Odeon, and you've been up since dawn, and you're working till dusk. That was a fun thing to do, using that old bank in Soho, old Barclays Bank. That was one of them. And then some of the more crazy ones, like Hot Rockin'.
Right, sure.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, they said, "We want to set fire to your boots." I thought, oh my God. What do you mean? Like, well, we're going to put this gel stuff on your boots and set it on fire. And I'm like, how long is that for? Oh, just for a few, you know, minutes. A few minutes. Yeah, we've got some fire extinguishers. You'll be okay. Fortunately, there was a pub next door. So we were all ratted during that whole shoot. I don't know how we got through it. But I'm like, okay, set fire to Rob, you know, and I put all this stuff on my feet, and somebody comes up with a lighter and my feet are on fire. So that you'll see that bit in the video. What you don't see is me as they go, cut, and I'm like, give me the fire extinguisher, because I was wearing these steel toe cap
boots. Oh, and then it got hot.
Heated up.
Yeah, so it was like lava feet, and I'm trying to pull my boots off, and they're all laced up, and they're throwing water over me, and, you know, it just, I mean, I got a ton of stories like that. But it was great because it got metal out to the masses through the television.
Definitely.
Whereas previously it was just through, and still is, radio. I mean, I love radio to death, we all do. But it was an opportunity now to get your band onto a television show.
Cool. So, how about some of the more recent stuff that you've done, even with Halford? Are there any?
The Betrayal is a great video. Betrayal's really cool. What other ones have we done, Mike? You have to help me out. I can't remember. What did we do from
the Made in Hell, which was this crazy, you know?
Yeah, that's a fun one.
That was cool.
Those clips are from all over the world.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. It was just like, I mean, how many splices in the video? But it was fun. We took like the whole world tour, and we just spliced it up in these crazy little stories that told the story and introduced us as a band to people. That was fun. I watch it now, and I'm like, wow. You know, you kind of go back in time, And you remember all the stuff that, you know, we used to do.
I remember there's a clip, there's a little fast clip where you see everybody trying to bounce this bus out of the way. Because we went to the Parthenon in Athens.
Wow. Right.
I remember you.
Yeah.
Little Mike crawling up there. You know, the Parthenon with the big pillars. And he walks up there. And I'll be behind him and he turns around and he goes, "What do you say? I am Metal Mike."
No, I go.
What did you say?
I go, "I shall bow to no woman." And it was not the right thing to do at the Pantheon.
You got all these women tourists going.
They're like, "What?"
And just everybody. I am Metal Mike and I will bow to no woman.
No, I shall bow to no woman. Because I tried to imitate this guy, David, from Virgin Steel. That's one of his records. And the ladies had that, like, this sour grapes look, and I'm like, first door. First time through the Pantheon.
That was a great tour.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, it was a lot of good memories. Awesome. A lot of wrecked hotel rooms and
food fights.
Bills. Crazy stuff going on that tour.
One of my favorite videos back to the Priest days, Free Will Burning.
I was going to say that same thing, man.
Any memories of that one with the lasers and all the stuff that was going on?
Yeah, it's funny because I've just been associated recently with that thing with Jack Black with Brutal Legend. And you see the clip in Free Will Burning, that was one of the very primitive kind of racing car types of video displays. And that was the original idea, was to try and put the band in the vehicles in the video game. And some of it worked and some of it didn't, but mostly it was a performance piece. And and that's, I think, the cool thing about all of those videos that Priest has done is that every video is kind of, is really cool to watch all these years later, mm-hmm. you know, just because they've all got little storylines and they kind of tell a movie tale, whatever it might be.
Cool.
One of my first videos that I ever had on tape, because I unfortunately didn't have MTV because I lived in a rural area, was... Bud Friendly thinks that's funny.
Hide the sheep.
What'd you grow on your farm?
Okay, back to the video. The video was You Got Another Thing Coming, and that was literally when I only had seen maybe 10 music videos of any genre. That was one of them. And any memories on that video?
Yeah, and really was that was MTV broke the band big time with that one. With we didn't really expect anything of that track because it was hidden in the record, and then the label said, "Hey, you know, that radio in America is really picking up on this track, and we'd like a visual to go with it." So very, very quickly, with Julian Temple, who became quite a famous movie director, he quickly said, "Okay, let me run the script, and I'm going to take you down to this." This water power station thing by the freeway just outside of London. And we'll just shoot there and we'll put it together. We'll build a stage and, again, put some lasers and this, that and the other. So I remember Glenn and KK and Ian picking me up in a van, and we went down there and Dave was waiting for us and we started to work. The fun bit at the very end, you know, it's like this authoritarian figure with a bowler hat, the establishment guy, the man. There'd been an explosives person there all day because we'd said we want to blow the guy's head up at the end. But he'd been there for like 12 hours and he was getting really pissed, you know. So when it came time to actually do that bit, he just stuffed everything that he'd got into this mannequin, this dummy's head. And some people still think it's real because we use an actor. You can see the actor looking at the dB decibel counter reading thing. And then it's edited and spliced, and then his head blows up. And it was like a bomb going off.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing left. The head was just obliterated. We couldn't find a bit of it. And then, of course, it blows up in the piece, and then it sort of wobbles. And then as it wobbles, the pants fall down, which was just a bit of an extra bonus. And we thought, we've got to leave that in. So that was the end of the day. That was the very last part of the shoot.
It's amazing that just happened by accident.
Yeah, just by accident we kept it in, yeah.
So that's how Priest invented another genre of metal called gore metal.
Right.
There was no gore metal before Another Thing Coming. You know, metal gets subdivided into all these categories.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Remember when we wore gore paint?
Yeah, of course.
Was that in Canada?
Yeah, last show, I believe, in Canada or something.
They did not know what to think of us. No. It was Halloween, wasn't it? In Canada.
Yeah.
And we thought for days, what we're going to do something for, it was, we were with Maiden.
We were playing big place for Iron Maiden.
And so we decided to put all this gore paint on. We went to this
Halloween store, black metal paint.
Bought everything. And we just did a. We were dying.
Unfortunately, wouldn't know. Unfortunately, wouldn't know that the paint was not a waterproof gore paint. Because
got a little messy.
So we walked out on stage, and the lights go up, and we start playing, and people are like, "What the hell is that? That's the Halford band. Who is that? Rob? Is that Metal Mike?"
Yeah.
But you know, as Mike says. You know, two or three numbers in, it was just dripping off of us. Yeah. And I'm looking at Mike and he's melting in front of my eyes, you know, with his like this big Hammer Horror House of Wax type of deal. And then he gets really pissed. So like at the end of a song, he just rubs his face all with his hands and he's just like this obliterated visual, like he'd been in a car wreck, you know. But we actually did wear that Gorefest paint and I think there's a clip on YouTube, I know there are some pictures.
But I remember the time when I took a towel and I wiped my face with the towel, and all it was just, had these big two black eyes.
Just like a panda.
And every
time, human panda and every time on guitar.
And every time you turned around, you started laughing. He didn't look at me for like four songs. He kept walking with his back towards me.
It was the funniest thing, you know. You're trying to be serious, and I'm just cracking up. So funny.
And Metal Mike, are you working on some new music now? What's up music-wise?
Well, you know, when I got time, I always work on new stuff. You know me, and I've been putting some songs together. I always write, you know, so I put some stuff away and probably going to record some stuff and release it when we get time. But, you know, it's still all work in progress, you know.
We will do another Halford record eventually.
Excellent.
I can't wait to hear what Mike's got and Z and Bobby and Mike D.
Where did you first meet Roy Z, Rob?
Well, that's a good question.
I know he had done the Bruce Dickinson stuff back in the...
That might have been part of the connection.
Yeah.
I can't know. You know, we have this real little network of really important people. And someone suggested, when the idea of going into this Halford band came to be, someone said, you know, I know this guy... in Los Angeles, just a hardcore fan of Priest, and he's an amazing guitar player, really good producer. Maybe you should just hang out and just, you know, see how it works. And of course, I met him, and Roy Z is this really cool Latino guy from LA, and we just hit it off right away. We went and had some food at one of the Jerry's Deli in Hollywood, and we just hung out for the night. And I was convinced that he was the, you know, like Metal Mike. All the people that I work with are real people. You know, they're in from the heart, from the soul, the real spirit of heavy metal. And so it was with Roy, and he's become like a best fan, like everybody in the band is.
Cool. And so you mentioned another Halford record at some point, and hopefully, possibly some shows at some point too.
At some point, yes, absolutely. I mean, everybody's been really, really gracious to hang around this long while. I mean, this last show that we did at Anaheim that's coming out next year, the Crucible show, everybody wished me all the best. You know, the band had really just started to get established and do great things, and they were very, very generous and very, very cool. I went, yeah, Rob, go back to Priest. You know, that's the place where you need to be. And I thought, how professional that is. So I think what we've done with this music is just a nice way of saying, hey, the band is still together. Mm-hmm. Z, Metal Mike, Mike D, Bobby, you know, we're still an outfit. And at some point we're going to do some more metal.
Excellent.
And all you listeners who are listening, if you haven't heard this, you've got to get Live Insurrection, because there's something I want to talk about. Mark and I have, as you guys know, done a lot of covers of some classic metal tunes. And I think your version of Blackout by the Scorpions is unbelievable. Tell us about how that came about.
So just quickly, after I did that, months later, Rudy came to one of the, I think it was a pre-show. And hey, Rudy goes, I have to say something about my mix.
Oh, no.
This is Rudolf Schenker.
This is Rudolf. I go, what's wrong with you? Well, you know, in the mix, there is a part where you take me down a little bit and I should be up a little bit. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, and then you did an edit. I said, we didn't do an edit. It was your real deal. I think someone did an edit, because there is a note, the 58th note, the 58th note on the third clef of the fourth string with my finger is not right.
No, I know.
And this is the way he works. That's why he's such an incredible guitar player.
It's wild.
His mind is just, you know, so German. Wow. That's what I love about the German metalheads. They're so intense and precise. But it was just an idea, you know, we were in Hanover.
Bochum or Hanover? Or?
Where the band is from. Yeah. And just suggested that we just...
That was fun.
I know Klaus was going to come up, but he wasn't feeling too well. He played me their stuff that they did with the Berlin Symphonic Orchestra. He took me out in his very flash Mercedes. Mm-hmm. We went for a drive and we played me that stuff. But I love the Scorpions. That's a great song. It's a really cool song. So I think it turned out pretty good.
That was amazing.
A song that John Astrami lives daily.
Yes.
You know, I have a funny story.
About 3 a.m. He's going to have another blackout tonight.
I have a funny story about Rudolph and that song, if I could just...
Yeah, absolutely.
Rudolph and I and Ray Riander were kind of sitting around, and Rudolph had his white and black guitar, and he's pounding these big boy German beers, you know? So he's having like four before he goes on. And I'm like, man, because like we really don't drink before we play. After the show is all good. But, you know, so we were kind of like, but, you know... It's Rudolf Schenker. He could do whatever he wants. So we'll get to this and we'll go to Breaking the Law. And no, not Breaking the Law. He wants to do Blackout. So we'll go through this whole thing. And then right before he gets on stage, he goes to my guitar tech. He's going like this. And my guitar tech, Clint, he goes, he forgot a pick. I got to get him a pick. So he runs into, and I see him bring two fistfuls worth of picks. And Rudolf goes, not a guitar pick, another beer. And he's just about to go on stage. So.
Classic.
So it was awesome.
Awesome. Great stuff. Well, thank you guys for joining us on Talking Metal. And we'd love to get some ID, Headbangers Ball IDs from you guys. But maybe we'll do those outside without the headphones on. And let's get into some music if you're cool with that, John.
Cool.
This is Get Into the Spirit by Halford. Metal Mike, Rob Halford. In the studio with Talking Metal. Check it out.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Talking Metal Live, and we're just having a good old time down here at the studio.
Something else, Rob Halford.
Unbelievable. The metal god graced our presence.
Walks right in by himself. No entourage, yeah. No bullshit.
Yeah.
Gets down to business.
Yeah, no doubt.
My kind of guy.
Absolutely.
And he texted Metal Mike, although Metal Mike's phone does not get texts, so he redid it.
So from the metal god to the metal nurse, yes, aka Nurse true. Angel, in the studio with us. Angel, just push. There you go. Perfect.
Now, sorry, I'm a little short right now sitting in this chair. They have me in a couch that when you sit in, you become a midget automatically when you sit on the cushions.
Those are down
cushions. You can
cushions.
Sink in it, yeah. The band down, actually.
So Nurse Angel, you have the Metal God apparel t-shirt on.
Yes, I do.
Designed by Rob Halford himself. What are some of your memories of Halford?
For me, well, I'm younger, of course, but when you think of metal and the metal movement of it starting, you think of Judas Priest.
Sure.
And it's amazing to me because they're a band that got together, I believe, 1969 and came out in like 74 with this new sound, and seeing Rob and like the clothing, the whole style, the persona that he had with the leather, with the chains was very different for bands during that era.
So it's not that far-fetched that he actually might have his own clothing company.
No, it's not far-fetched at all. I definitely could see him, you know, having his own clothing line. But I think he totally influenced the whole idea of metal to begin with. And that's why he's a metal god. I mean, just him in general, when he's on stage, how he commands it. And also to his personal life, how he wasn't afraid to be who he was and do his career. And people respect him for that.
And that's metal.
It is metal.
It's definitely metal.
So your new, is this your new publicist we've been talking with who's brought you on the show, has been referring to you as Nurse Angel, but you're still the metal
nurse. I'm the metal
nurse.
My name is Angel. It's a nickname that people call me. I work with Synergy Entertainment, and I have worked with Craig Sassone from 7 Day Entertainment as well. And that's that, but I love, you know, the metal nurse, but yes, my name is Angel. So some people call me Nurse Angel.
So the last time we hooked up, you were playing guitar in 14 Bullets and Smoke. And what's going on with you right now?
Right now I'm in the middle of starting a new project. But other than that, what I do what you guys do. I interview bands, but I do it all live for the internet on Blabbermouth and YouTube. And it's just cool. About getting behind stage and seeing bands, you know, just hanging and being themselves, more of the behind the scenes kind of feel. And I usually get them to do something ridiculous.
That's cool.
Like Dragon Force, we did, some jujitsu moves.
Wow.
Little thing like that. I also asked Yngwie Malmsteen if he bought his furniture from IKEA, and he doesn't buy his furniture from IKEA, so I guess that's settled.
He's not supporting right. his homeland.
No, and he did know the Swedish chef. So, well, you know, I thought that was really, really exciting news, but that's what I do. I do different interviews. I work with brands as Coffin Case, as you guys know.
Yeah, GTS. I was going to ask you if you're still working with Coffin Case.
I still
Case.
Work with Coffin Case, Dean Guitars. D cool. Drum and GHS, and I do whatever modeling pictures and stuff like that for them. But what I try to do basically is keep myself around music and around the metal entertainment world, and that's what I love to be a part of.
Cool. Now, when you mentioned your new project that you're working on, you're talking about a musical project?
Yes, yes.
And what is there any details you can give us on this yet?
That's a secret.
That's a secret.
I'd have to kill you or give you a shot, one or the other. Could you bend over?
Well, I might need my spine. I need it.
Is that for the killing yeah. or the shooting?
You tell me.
I'm feeling a little sick right now.
You look awful.
I know.
The whole metal nurse thing, though, is for the idea that music is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like music can be a stress reliever or some kind of medication in some sense to help you get that energy out of you that you need to release at times, you know?
I saw some great interviews you did out at NAMM, mm-hmm. and tell us about your experience out there.
Oh, NAMM?
Yeah.
NAMM is a circus made for crazy musicians. I was out there with Jason Bonham, and just being able to talk to him about, you know, his father and some of the stories that he had were just like, it was amazing to be him, I think, too, has to be hard.
Right.
You know, you're standing in your father's shadows and
sure.
stuff like that. But when he gets on the drums, he definitely, he brings it up to par. And he was playing, I believe, a Bumblefoot I got to see
cool.
at a club. And you guys know Bumblefoot.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Last time I was here, he was
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you were with Bumblefoot.
And Billy Sheehan.
Cool.
And that was an amazing show to see Billy, you know, on bass. He was playing Hot for Teacher and
nice.
All the like guitar leads. And I thought, I was like, wow, because bass players don't really... I don't mean that. I'm sorry. That's not nice. But they don't really do anything much for me. I'm really into guitar players.
You're not into William Murderface?
No. Sorry. But that was amazing. And NAMM itself, just to be around your peers and around the musicians that you love is amazing. It's like you're hanging out with buddies and you got... You got Vinnie Paul standing beside you drinking a beer. I mean, what could be better than that?
And you actually interviewed one of our good friends, Nick Catanese, and
yes.
it reminds me of the time that you were on Talking Metal with us, and we had that Zach Wilde special.
We had the Zach Wilde special. Nick is a down-to-earth guy, and so is JD, but yeah, that Zach Wilde special, the teddy bear hugging.
Right.
Fest.
We just hung out with Zach again last week. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. you guys got to tell me something ridiculous that happened during that time.
The most ridiculous thing is that he was sober.
He was sober.
Oh, wow.
He was totally sober, but his antics were still there 100%. Basically, about a fourth of the interview was about a specific episode of Seinfeld that he literally went through the entire episode, and that was part of it. And then he, back in the old days, his saying when he was drinking, his saying was, you know, things are very sexy and a lot of stuff about being sexy. But now his new one is that everyone hates you, including your parents. So he's answered numerous questions for numerous interviewers.
I think he was just saying that to you, John.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's a saying. I think he was just saying it to you.
Giving a little hint out there, maybe.
But you know what?
I've never heard him say it.
Yeah, no, I have to say that his whole crew, and as soon as Zach walked in, he was like, oh, no. And I was threatened. They threatened me with if we kept Zach there another 13 hours, they had a rented car that they were going to run me over with. So that's
really
that's that. Yeah.
But he has his health back. And
yes.
Everything.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Very good.
If I'm right, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Zach was kicked out of NAMM.
Oh,
he can't go there.
Wow. Ever again.
Ever again.
Well,
I could be wrong. I mean, that's what I've heard.
My uncle was kicked out of NAMM.
Yeah, we're not talking about Vietnam. We're talking about the National Association of
Music.
Oh, okay.
Music.
Right, right.
Yeah. I ran into a guy on the street, a little off topic here, but since we're talking about Zach, I think the Talking Metal listeners would be interested in this. I ran into an actor who just happened to spot me and said, you were with Zach Wilde in Las Vegas. And we had such a ordeal when I was out in Las Vegas for VH1 Rock Honors with Zach, and somehow I got designated to be Zach's handler, and we were at a blackjack. We were at a blackjack
His
table.
Handler,
yeah. Well, you know, just
I left that one out there for you.
No. I had to keep track of Zach and
what
make
were you
sure
actually
that,
handling.
Where were the knee pads?
No, I was handling his wallet and you know the money and all that kind of stuff. But the funniest thing is, we were at a table and we thought it was a different game, so hence we lost, Zach lost. And the guy said, I remember you guys were there, but you were playing the wrong game. So, right. you know, that's my funny Zach story. And then we were asked to leave the table.
Sorry. I was looking at Mark's face.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'll have to re-listen to that one.
But do we have a symbol that we can hit?
Not sure that's going to make it into the final cut of the show, but...
Actually, it was a great story, though. It was really funny.
So, Angel,
it's truly amazing.
Angel, what bands are you currently listening to?
Me? I listen to Slipknot, and I listen to Machine Head a lot. I love Dave McLean. I think he's an amazing drummer. And who else do I listen to? See, I get stuck, man, with when you listen to like Pantera and you try to listen to other bands to, you know,
Right.
Your standards are high.
Yeah, my standards are high,
exactly.
But there's a lot of good music out there. And, you know, I try to give everything a chance to listen to, but definitely like Slipknot and Machine Head would be the most.
Cool. And do you do modeling and stuff outside of the metal community, or are you pretty much just metal all the time?
I have a camera here.
He's a photographer.
Well,
I'm a professional.
Ooh, are you? Do you know this guy is quite sexy without the mask on?
You've seen him without the mask.
Yeah. Wow, that's a story right there.
Yes, thank you very much. Not many people have seen me without. In fact, this is not a mask; it's a tattoo.
Oh, that's nice. Very
what
sexy.
You saw was
like Mastodon, you know, like a little.
Perhaps, but what you saw, I'm not quite sure was my actual face.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you do work outside of the metal community?
No, I do work outside of it. I don't do modeling for it. I'm an actress, and I work on the show Ugly Betty.
Oh, okay.
And different movie sets and stuff like that. But it's such a different world. And when I go in, I totally feel like an alien. Like,
right.
It's rough. But, I mean, there's some people out there that probably do like it, but definitely it's hard to find in the acting community.
So what have you done on Ugly Betty?
It sounds really stupid, but I work as an employee for their office company called Mode.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm a stylist, and my name's Tara Hart.
Oh, very good.
Cool.
Yes.
Very good.
Lots of fun.
Cool. And for the Talking Metal listeners who are interested in checking you out, you mentioned some of this stuff earlier. Is there one central site that links to this other stuff?
You can go to themetalnurse.com and definitely check it out on YouTube. But we're going to be having a whole blast of new videos of never seen footage before that will be on Blabbermouth that you can check out.
Just posted directly on Blabbermouth.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
And to all the Talking Metal listeners, I don't think there's one of you out there who would not be interested in checking her out. Believe
yes,
me.
Definitely.
Worth clicking. and you have some gifts, I understand, down here
Everybody,
by your feet.
This is the thing with me. If you're hanging out with me, you got to do a shot of Jack Daniels. You know, I'm sorry. I used to live in Tennessee. It's just a part of the deal. So you guys got to do it.
Seems fair.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah, are you ready for that?
Absolutely do that.
Good. I would suggest, if it was me, I'd have to drink it straight out of the bottle, but, you know.
Well, with swine flu, maybe.
The swine flu is going around.
That's ruining
and
all
I,
the
I don't want to get the
communal bottle drinking.
There you go.
I actually shook hands with a guy who had the swine flu three times, and I had to really
to congratulate him
afterwards.
Really? Were you just were you congratulating him?
Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of Jack, isn't it?
I could take that one.
Can you? All right. I'm going to give it to you.
No, he was recovering from the swine flu.
He was recovering?
Yes. Yes.
Did you wear a mask when you shook his hand?
No, because I didn't know. I said, after I shook his hand the first time, I said, you're not looking that great. And, you know, no offense. And I said, what's wrong? And he goes, oh, yeah, the swine flu. Like, so I wish he would have told me that before I shook his hand.
That's why I'm wearing a mask.
True.
To prevent,
you know,
we are pouring shots here, getting ready for
this. Is not radio silence. This is bartending.
We're officially bartending
here.
Talking Metal.
To Talking Metal.
Keep it in
Nurse
real.
Angel, aka the Metal Nurse.
Here we
Cheers.
Go.
Very good. Are you still doing work with Coffin Cases? You said you are, right?
Yes, I am. I still work with Johnny and the crew.
And
so. We'll see what's going on out there. What's going on with you guys? You guys get like a lot of hot bitches in here that are crazy for you? I want to know.
No, sadly, not yet. I'm married.
As I said before, we didn't know where the ladies' room was. You might be one of the first.
Do you
want to
know something sad? And I think I got to help. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I said I wasn't going to tell, but now that I'm here, I'm going to spread it. All right. They had a key to the bathroom and it had a sparkly gold sneaker on it.
See, we needed some metal.
I need to hook them up with like a little mini Gene Simmons kiss boot or something.
Yeah,
I think
that.
We
that
should
would be
work
very
that
cool.
Over.
Yeah, definitely.
For the next time you come, I promise you.
Do you promise?
I'm gonna have a metal keychain.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Thank you.
Just want to kiss his face. You want to squeeze his cheeks when you look at him. You can't help it.
Ooh, John.
Yeah, or, come on, why not? What
you that know, shot's you. Really gone to your head. I mean, you're beautiful, John.
Thank you.
I mean
bud.
That.
Thank you, bud.
Cool. Well, Metal Nurse, a.k.a. Nurse Angel, we wish you the best of luck with everything. We thank you for coming down. We thank you for modeling the great Rob Halford T-shirt that you have on. And we will have links up in today's show notes to different places that people can check you out.
Can find the
Metal
Nurse online.
Metalnurse.com.
Yeah.
You can go to Blabbermouth.
Excellent.
And you know what? I got to say, the coolest thing that happened is that Rob Halford has left the studio with the Metal Nurse's lip imprints on his cheek.
Very good.
He's a sexy bitch, you know?
Cool. Well, let's get into some music here. And we have the guys from Revolver Magazine coming up in just a bit. Oh, let's see.
Okay, John, time to take your temperature.
This
I know what's coming next, right?
No, he's at loss for words. It's all in his head.
I don't know. Play some music.
This is a little White Wizard high-speed GTO. Check it out on Talking Metal Live.